above over here. We have over here, we start with Lamnat Sehel, Yonas Elam Rechokim. So this is a weird little line over here. Al Yonas Elam Rechokim. So again, I guess this could be some type of a musical instrument, but it does seem a little bit strange. So the line is literally, Elam is a fool or a mute person. Yonah, obviously, is a dove. Rechokim, that flies far away. The David Michtam, David Melch made this Michtam. The Achaz is all Pelishim and Gas when he was grabbed by the Pelishim and Gas. Now, question when exactly this happened over here.
What does this mean?
So we don't really have a real line, but the shot is when David Melech was a silenced dove, a person who was trying to make peace with Shaul HaMelech, but was sent far away because Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill him. As that happened, he ran to the Plishtim, right? And the Plishtim wanted to kill him, knowing that this is the person who had killed Goliath and had started all the wars against the Plishtim and had defeated them so many times, and that Achish should not give anything whatsoever. The first time he went to the Plishtim, David Melech was able to get away by pretending to be a fool, right? Perhaps that's where the word Elam Rechokim means, the first time he did that way.
Elam meaning he's mute now, he has nothing to do.
Correct. This time, he no longer had that. So. This time, he didn't want to feign madness. This had too many people with him. First time, he was by himself. Now, he had hundreds of people with him. This time, he was able to go up and say something. Now, however it is, it is definitely strange. But regardless, something happened over here. This might be a reference to what happened with Yishbi Benov. Yishbi Benov captured David HaMelech. He was able to go through. It's possible that it's referring to this over here. But either way, this is a dove fleeing from a hawk, running away from one place to the other. And that's a real problem. It could also be referring to the time when Achish asked him to join in the war against Bnei Yisrael. And David Melech had to fight against Shaul HaMelech, and David Melech wasn't sure what to do. He was lucky that the Plishtim said, why would you have David Melech fight against his old king? He's going to, you know, go up with him and he's going to fight us. It's not a smart idea. So he was sent away instead. And he ended up going in the other direction. And that's what happened over here. It is absolutely amazing what was going on over here. Regardless, that's the idea behind it. Chanini Elokim ki Shafani Enosh, grant me with favor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because men would swallow me. Kol Yom Lokim Yochatzeni, all day the warriors try to oppress me, and this is obviously a reference to Shaul HaMelech. Sha'afu Sharai Kol Hayom, they lie in wait for me, so they would swallow me all up all day long. Ki Rabim Lochamim Lemero, because there are many people who are waging war against me up in Shemayim. They look at me with an evil eye, with an ayin hara, and they say I want to destroy them. And the only reason why he was okay is because he was b'marom, because he had up high, he had schusim that were up high, that were able to protect him. Yom Yira and on that day that I'm afraid, I still trust in you. In God I will praise every word of his head. In God I will trust. Hey, wonder if that's where it comes from.
What?
In God we trust. Oh, that's based on these psukim.
I mean, there's a lot of psukim to talk about.
I don't know about this word, though. I don't think we've ever seen a line like this. That's interesting. I don't know. Okay. Loi ra, I shouldn't be afraid. My yes, because what could flesh and blood do to me? Now, this also is a reference not only to other people, but the Yitzhahara. How could the Yitzhahara get a hold of me, right, when I know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to call Yom Devarai Yat Sebo Alai? All day long, my words become saddened. They trouble me, my words. Their thoughts, right, are evil against me. And that's the idea that every day I'm sitting there saying please don't when it comes to my enemies, right? And my thoughts, all of their thoughts are always toward evil for me. They have evil motives and they go through Yaguru Yitzponu, they gather together and they hide. They watch my steps to see where I go. Kasher Kibu Nafshi, they wait to be able to destroy my soul. Avin Palalamo, for sin, Palalamo, are they going to be rescued? The Af Amim Horeid Elokim, in anger take down those nations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't care how many there are. If these are the people and what they're doing over here, they should destroy me. And here, David Melech says an interesting line. Al Aven Pelet Lamo? Are they blaming it on a sin of mine? Are they claiming that I deserve this because I've sinned before in my lifetime? If that's so, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take care of it. Because if I do deserve to be punished for a sin that I've done, and there are things that he may have done, we don't know when this was. If this is a time, this second time around, he hasn't done Bat Sheva yet, right? There are certain issues that he has not done yet, right? Certainly, Uri Achiti wouldn't have happened. Bat Sheva wouldn't have happened. That happened much later on. Whatever it is.
Maybe
but there
are things that the Tanakh didn't tell us about.
Right. It wasn't the Kabbalah Lashon Hara, right? But at the same time, he is calling himself a chassid. It is interesting, but he said, if there is something, then you punish me, and you can do it through them.
Did this happen after he cut off corner of...
He would have been right now, he would have been, after he cut off the corner of Sheol HaMelech. It depends which time he was going down there. If it's the first time he'd been to the Pelishim, then no.
Right.
Second time, then yes, it would have been afterward. That's a good call, because you were supposed to be punished for that. Nodi Sefar Tato, you are the one who counts my wandering. Sima Dimasi Ben Odecha, you put all of my tears in a flask, and you record them. You put them down, and there's no way that you can forget them. And that's the idea. And here we learn a line from Yeshua Ben Levi, that anyone who sheds tears for a man that is Choshuv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts them and places them in his treasure vault. That's what happens if you cry for somebody that's great. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do that. And now there's somebody who passed away, who wasn't necessarily supposed to pass away. If that happens to a person, then he gets awarded over here. And that's the idea behind it. It is also a remez. Yeah, that's the problem. It's a drush instead of a pshat. It's not from. It's learned out from over here. Sima dimasi benodecha lo b'sifrasecha. Nothing to do with somebody who passed away. But the drush is, and what Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi is learning from this is, if you shed your tears for such a person, you'll go down. It probably is a gemara. Is it a gemara bracha?
Maybe he's saying like also
Shabbos.
What's the Shabbos?
Okay. Shabbos. Where is it?
Kofei.
Kofei is weird. I guess so. Maybe, yeah. No, let's say Pashat. What is Pashat? It's what I said before.
Meaning
the Pashat is you count my tears and you're putting it on your flask for what it is. Yeah, for sure. That's for sure the Pashat. But that's the drush that comes from Rishim ben Pazi in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Right, and that's that. There's a remez over here to the last 8 psukim of the Torah that were written bidima, in tears, according to one parish in the Gemara. Right, how they were written, that he wrote them too. Az Yeshuvoi Vaya Chorbi Omakon. That day that I call out that my enemies should turn backward. I know this, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always for me, but Elokim al Hel Davar, I will praise his word, Hashem al Hel Davar, through Hashem, I will praise the word. Now, notice over here, Elokim and Hashem, clearly Midas Adin and Midas Arachman. In the beginning of Tehillim, he said the exact same line, right? Elokim al, where is it? Elokim al Hel Davaro, in Pasuk He, right? The same type of idea, but now it's the judge, the Midas Adin, is turning into a good thing over here. And then it says, Elokim Batachi, Lo Yiro, because I trust in God, once again, I will not be afraid, Ma'as Adam Lee. What could a person possibly do to me? Notice, before he said, Ma'as a Buster Lee, this certainly is referring to a human being as opposed to the Yitzhahara. Alay Elokim Nidorecha, your vows, everything that I vow to give you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's upon me to give. Ashalim Todos Lach, I am going to give thanksgiving offerings to you. What are my thanksgiving offerings? Number one, for saving my life. Number two, for not stumbling, for not doing the wrong thing when I was in the wilderness. One of those things was killing Sheol HaMelech, which he did not do, which he very well could have. Those are the types of things. Now, here's the pshat. A neder is something where you promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something. You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I want to do. Even if you have not yet fulfilled it, it's considered as if you've done it. It's a Gemara in Tainus that just promising to fast is good enough as if you fasted. Therefore, it happened once. I'd have to think of the Gemara. It's around Tainus Daf Chaf Aleph. I don't remember exactly when, but it was around the times of Rava where they promised to do a fast day. And immediately it started raining. And they asked him, do we have to fulfill the fast day? Because after all, the rain came immediately. We didn't have to wait for it. It's not like we fasted and then the rain came. The rain came right now. And he said, yeah, because once you promise, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already going to fulfill your prayer. But you still have to make up the fast. It's sort of like that person who says, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like my keys, he helped me find it, then I'm going to give tzedakah. Right? And then you find it right after. You're like, oh, forget it. I got it. I'm good. Thank you. And that's the point. The point is that you're going to give it, right, when you kind of keep selton. You have delivered, you have saved my soul from death. Hello, Raglai Midechi. You have saved my feet from stumbling. The same idea as before. That we go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the light of the living. This may be the place where the Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings his sefer. The Or HaChaim means a full heart, ready to walk in front of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lofted level, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings out that light for all of us. By the way, that's the end of Nun Vav. Let's look at Nun Zayin over here. Lamentech al Tashchis. Once again, the Lamentech al Tashchis. We mentioned this before. Al Tashchis means do not destroy. Okay? Tashchis also could be a musical instrument. There is a possibility over here. When he's running away from Sheol
HaMelech.
Al Tashchis would be the whole musical
the
instrument.
Name of the music.
Yeah, whatever that is. See, that's, you gotta hit, like, Elam Rechokim could also be a musical. That's the problem. We have no idea. But clearly there's something that's meant by it. So what does Al Tashchis mean? So again, yeah, it's exactly Al Tashchis is the instrument itself. So the second shot,
Arabic word.
Al Tashchis.
Oh, it's an Arabic.
L, isn't it? It's Al. Yeah. So that's what it is. So David, it could be also, don't allow me to be destroyed by Shaul HaMelech. As he's running away from David Melech and hiding in the cave, he's zaving into a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Al Tashchis, do not destroy me. Of course, it could be the opposite way, that David Melech is zaving into a Kodesh Baruch Hu, give me my reward for not destroying Shaul HaMelech. Remember, Shaul HaMelech went into the cave to go to the bathroom. David Melech happened to be there. The reason why is because there were two openings to the cave. One opening was surrounded by spider webs, so Shaul HaMelech assumed nobody had been inside there. The other opening was from the other side. Shaul HaMelech didn't know that. He broke the spider webs and went inside, went to the bathroom. David Melech was right there. Avishai kept telling him, kill him, kill him, it's your enemy. To which David Melech said, Chas v'Shalom, nobody should touch the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would assume they were mouthing to each other, because a cave normally would definitely, I don't know, maybe they had a candle, but then Shaul HaMelech would have seen. I don't know how that happened exactly, like how the conversation happened inside the cave, and Shaul HaMelech didn't hear it. I'm sorry? Nah, hard. Oh, telepathic. I think that's better than the
infrared.
Oh, they had their infrared on. Right, Shaul HaMelech didn't, because he was going to the bathroom, so why would he need that?
Or he had one of the headlamps, you know.
Either way, but Al Tashchis, it's just weird altogether. It is funny, and it is interesting, but it's crazy that he is a Rodef, Shaul HaMelech, and therefore a Rodef, we all know the halacha, Bolar Gecha Hashkin Lahorgo, right? You're allowed to kill him if he comes up against you. Actually, what I just said is wrong. Habolar Gecha Hashkin Lahorgo is not the same din as Rodef. It's a little bit different, because Rodef means he is chasing after you at that moment. Habolar Gecha Hashkin Lahorgo, you don't have to kill him while he's in the midst of running after you. At this point, Shaul HaMelech was not a Rodef, because he was going to the bathroom. But you did have the din of Habolar Gecha Hashkin Lahorgo. If he's coming up against you, you're allowed to kill him. Regardless, right, there is a tefillah, and this tefillah, supposedly this whole mizmor, is good for someone who wants to hold back his impulses. You have a taiva that you want to do, and you want to hold yourself back from doing it, this is a mizmor to say.
Fun.
What?
Holding back?
Well, of course it's fun. This is the most fun in the world. There's nothing funner than holding back. Yeah, no, YOLO is the worst. Oh, doing what you wanted to do is the worst. Give me favor, because I take refuge in my soul through you. We're talking about the Echasen. I hide under the shadow of your wings, Adi Avor Avos, until all these calamities pass by, until everything bad, the bad thoughts, whatever Habos is referring to over here. And again, he's davening that nothing should happen. There should be good things that Shaul HaMelech should not kill me. Ekrele Elokim Elyon, I'll call out to the God of above, El Gomer Eloi, to God who fulfills my every prayer, etc. And what ends up being over here, first of all, this is a Shal Shal song, I believe, from the first or second CD, right? Echo Lakim Elyon, and Yishlach Mishmai Yoshin, you should send down help from the heavens, and you should save me. Kterib Shoaf Yisela, right? As there is taunting, right, from those who want to swallow me up forever. Yishlach Lakim Chasov Minito, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, send down his Chesed Ve'emes. And that was a Malach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending down over here. Again, there is a reference over here. Again, it could be a medrash as opposed to a pshat, right, in which the ruling of a beis din has the power to influence man's nature itself. The line that they use for this, in Ekrele Elokim Elyon, La'el Gomer Eloi, that God allows me to fulfill my own destiny, so to speak. The line that the Chassam Sofer uses for this, although really it's a Yerushalmi, it's not just a Chassam Sofer, Ksuvus. He explains it a little bit better. He has an Ksuvus?
And the Darim.
Okay. So the line is that if a girl is, let's say, a girl is born in Adar. She's born in the 10th of Adar. Right? And Adar comes in, it's the Yud Adar, right? She has her birthday, she's 3 years old. And then Chas V'Shalom, she's raped right after them, the 15th of Adar. Okay? At the age of 3. Halachically, that girl is no longer a Besula. And that girl can no longer marry a Kohen Gadol. Okay, that's the halacha. She's known to Tzua. However, if Chazal make an Uber Yor, and they decide to make an Adar Sheni, then her birthday was not in Yud Adar. The birthday is the next Adar. It's Yud Adar Beis, which means that when she was raped, then Tesvav Adar Adar Rishon, she wasn't 3 years old at the time. So Chazal can literally change nature by making a decision in Beis.
But they're not changing nature. They're changing the legal reality.
The status. The kasha is she a Besula or is she not? Did she lose that diamond or not? Does it grow back, so to speak, or not?
I'm guessing it doesn't grow back, but I'm just saying that she's legally has the status of a Besula. because that's what the halakha, the law, establishes.
It's an interesting call. I don't know if that works like that way.
But I think it's more of a legal status, not necessarily a metzias. It's what is the
Stam Sofer uses it to define changing metzias. He literally says that it changes the metzias of this person.
It changes the metzias from a legal perspective.
Mm. It's hard to say. I hear what you're saying, though, that it's only from that perspective itself. The gosh is, does it grow back? Does it grow back? If Chazal have the ability to make it grow back.
But
maybe Chazal have that ability to make it grow back. So to speak, they have that El Gomer alive. That's the line that they darshan it from, that it comes from here. But that's what he means over here by that.
Yeah. So the thing wouldn't have to grow back before the other...
But no, meaning once they decide it, nope. Then it automatically happens. It automatically happens. Well, whatever that means. But I hear what you're saying, that it's only a legal status rather than an actual physical change. I remember that Chassam Sofer, he was stark. Stark is anything, that Chazal had the ability to change everything from what it was. There's a famous line in the Megillah from it. I think that's where he says it. That might be where the Chassam Sofer, where I saw it, in the Megillah regarding what Vashti did. That some, I forgot what the whole thing was, that he wanted specifically Yodei Ha'itin. He wanted Chachamim. It would be Yodea Itim, people that knew the times, so he picked Chazal, because they knew how to make it an Oberyors. I forgot what they wanted to do exactly, but remember...
It would make more sense if it was Esther, because...
No. I remember. It's because Vashti, her father, was killed on Tesvav Nisan, right? That her father was killed on the night of Tesvav Nisan, Belshazzar. I forgot how it goes exactly. Achashverosh called for Vashti on Tesvav Adar Sheni. Tesvav Adar Sheni. That's when he called her. If Chazal are able to change the Uberyor into a regular year and turn Adar into Nisan, then she has an excuse for not coming because it was the yortzeit of her father and she could say, and everybody could get out of it and you don't have to kill Vashti. And that's why he wanted the Chachamim, the Yodei Ha'itim, to change it from Adar Sheni to Nisan, and Chazal declined to do so. They said, we can't do that anymore. But that was like sort of like changing what it was, changing it into, and that you could say also was halakhic status. But remember, I think that's what the Chassam Sofer says, where he brings up that concept, is his shot.
They follow their own calendar.
He wanted them to
might have been similar to ours, but
well, it has to be, right? Because we took their names.
But why would they base it off of what we?
Maybe he knew that there was a way of doing so. Maybe there was a way of doing
it. I've seen Assyrian calendars.
The question is: Do Persians also keep the solar calendar? Is that the only reason for an Uberyor? If they don't, then you have an Arab calendar, right? And then what did Achashverosh do? What did Achashverosh at those times do? But let's go on for now while you're looking that up. Plus a K. Nafshi b'silk levayim. My soul is among lions. I lie down among people who are on fire. People whose teeth are like spears and arrows, and their tongues are like a sharp sword, obviously using their tongues to be able to talk, etc. Human beings are dangerous, right? You're dealing with what people want you to do, etc. What they're going to do to you. Be exalted over the heavens. Your soul, your glory is above everything in the earth, and you are able to go above everything else. They set up a net for my steps. They bow down my soul. They knock down my soul. They dig a pit in front of me, and then they fall into it. They fall into it. You know what the funny line over here is? They already fell into it before they even made it. It's past tense, not in the future tense. That's what he's saying over here. Why? Because I was kapap nafshi. I was humbling myself in front of God, which made my enemies falter. My heart is straight toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will be steadfast toward Ashir Vazamera. I will sing and I will, sing. Shira and Zmiros, right? And therefore I know that everything's going to work out well. Ura Chlodi, what do you got?
So the original calendar was the Avestan calendar. We had 360 days of 12 months of 30 days each. And in order to get the synchronized of the solar year, it was they intercalated a 13th month every 6 years. That was the religious one. But the civil calendar, intercalation is not always follow a regular pattern, but during the reign of Artaxerxes II, which might have been Ahasuerus, astronomers utilized a 19-year cycle which required the addition of a month called Adaru 2 in the years 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, and 19, and the month Ululu 2 in the year 17 of the cycle. we might be Elul.
I want to look back to the Chassam Sofer, see what he means by that. Maybe he mentions this without me realizing it. As a side note, by the way, you know that makes sense also, because they might have held that Tishrei is the beginning of all the months as opposed to Nisan. We hold Nisan is, because that's when we left Mitzrayim, but if they went by the beginning of the world,
there's
Tishrei.
There's only an Elul 2 in the year 17 of the cycle. Years 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, and 19 is our Adar Sheni.
Okay, either way, but normally an over year should always be the
What are the years that
19.
We have
a 19 year
cycle? No, I know it's 19, but which years of the 19 year cycle do we have for the leap year?
3, 3, 3, 2, 3, 3, 3, 2. I think it's 3, 3, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3, 2. That's how it goes. I know that might be a little bit extra, but that's how we go.
3, 3, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3, 3, 3, 2.
Oh, that's a little bit extra. Then they're going to be off by a little bit. If they have a triple three, they're going to be off by a little bit.
Well, because year 17 is really 2.5. It's 14 to 7.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. All right. Anyway, but that's really cool, though. Kimmy, I don't know if it had to do with... Maybe it had to do with Vashti, who's specifically trying to get it out.
Why would the Jewish sages have to do... Because...
I don't know, but the Gra says it was referring to the Chacham, it's the Gemara. The Gemara Megillah says it was the Chachamim, Yodei Yitim. It was specifically to do that.
Yeah,
and then the Chacham Sofer is asking why that.
It was the Chachamim who knew Yitim because they were good astronomers.
Yeah,
and knew
maybe that's
the phases, but maybe because they were wise in one thing, you thought they'd be wise in another thing.
Yeah, but the Chacham Sofer is the one that was Mechadish because La'el Gomer Alai. That's where
the
comes
first
from.
Month of the year, the first month of the year was called Frawardin. And the first day of Frawardin is Nowruz, the New Year's holiday.
Anyway, let's go on now. Brother Tess, Ura Chvodi, Ura Nevo Vachino, Yura Shachar. Now, everybody knows this pasuk because everybody has done brachos. Even if you haven't finished brachos, everybody does the first couple blot and then forgets about it afterward. So here's one of the famous lines over here. May my soul wake up. May it wake up by the harp and the kinor and the lyre. Oh, Yura Shachar, now wake up in the morning. I'm just going to point something out to you, okay? Everybody sees the cover of this book on the Nehemiah. He has both up here hanging. I've never heard that before. I've always heard the harp, right? But he's got a hot harp and a guitar. And I was actually looking at this the other day and trying to figure out what was going on. First of all, I saw the chamtzin right over here, a little Ayin Hara thing right over there. And I was also wondering about where David Melech was sitting on, because it looks like the bed's over there. So I was wondering if there was a chair beneath him or if he was standing up. I had all these thoughts as I'm looking at this. But then I was looking at this and I'm like, I wonder why he has both. And then I looked at the pasuk and I'm like, I never noticed. It says Ura HaNevel V'Chinor, both of them. The Gemara only mentions the kinor, and we assume that the kinor is a harp. We have no idea. It's a stringed instrument. That's all we know. The likelihood is that it's some type of lyre slash guitar type of thing, like this thing over here, not an actual harp.
Harp, but it's got less strings and it looks like this.
Something like that, right? That's what you'd assume. Because I'll say that David Melech is saying that he never slept through midnight. He never went through midnight. And Reb Zeret says until midnight he would drowse like a horse. After midnight he'd be up like a lion. Reb Ashi says until midnight he would learn Torah. After midnight he would sing praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'd do Tikkun Chatzos or whatever it would be. Right? And the way that he would tell is through the harp slash whatever. The northern wind would blow and go through. There's an awesome Chassam Sofer, which of course I totally forgot the answer to, in which he asked, come on, you really think if you put up a harp in the middle, do you think the northern wind is going to make the harp blow exactly at midnight? No. So what's pshat? And then he gives an answer, and I forgot what it is. It's an awesome question, right? And that's that. Ruach Tzfonis also might not refer to that. It could be referring to the ruach that was safun within him, that he was the one who blew on the harp, so to speak, that he would awaken the dawn, and that was the reference to what it's referring to over here. Anyway, regardless, Yerushalmi, without a question, right, would hear the harp playing, and the Torah scholars hearing him play would say, if David HaMelech is getting up and he's learning Torah, we should do the same as well, and everybody would wake up through David HaMelech itself. But that's Ura Chavodi, that my soul should wake up. It is absolutely amazing. Even if this didn't happen every night, that a king got up in the middle of the night to learn or sing praises or to do whatever it was that he was going to do. Kings are lazy. By definition, they're lazy. That's what they do. Everybody else does something
and
for them.
Probably got to be busy, though.
Busy during the day, 100%. Some of them know. But yes, they go through. I'm sorry?
I just want to say that David was different. David
was totally, 100% it's on Daf Dalet. Daf Dalet for David. Always remember that. But yes, 100% it goes through and it tells you what David Melech was like. And he wasn't. He wasn't like anybody else. And he would get up. I'm going to thank you among the nations. I'm going to sing your praises among the other Lumen. Yeah, 100%. How great your chesed is all the way to the heavens. To the another part of the heavens, whatever you want to call it, the skies, is your truthness and everything that you have over here. And that idea is that, listen, again, if there, it's a line like this. In this place it says, Ad Shamayim Chasdecha. Your chesed goes all the way until the heavens, seemingly not further. There's another line in Parak Kuf Ches, which says, your chesed is above the heavens. What does that mean over here? So when a person acts L'shem Shamayim, then God's chesed is above the heavens. If a person acts Shalom L'shem Shamayim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed only goes until the heavens and not any further than that. That's the line until
the difference. To me,
I think seemingly how a Kadosh Baruch Hu will treat a person. Will he forgive sins? Will he allow you to get certain chesed in this world? Or will he allow you to be punished in the next? Will he give you extra chesed here so that he makes sure that everything's gone, your yisurin will be enough for you? Or is he not going to give you enough chesed and you'll be punished more severely, we'll call it. Rumal Shemayim Elokim, be exalted above the heavens. He's asking him to go above Al-Kol Aretz Kvodecha, let your soul be above the entire earth. Okay, that brings the Nun Ches over here. Again, L'Nasech Al-Tashkez L'David Michtam, Ha'unam Eilem. How are you silent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what David was asking. Set it to the Beirun, right? Speak out justices. Meisharin, in a straight away way, you have to judge different people. Now, who are we referring to over here? We're referring to people that were acting in a terrible way. It's possible that once again, it's referring to Shlomo Melech, and that he's forewarning judges, Al Tashchis. Do not destroy the judgment of a person the way that Shlomo Melech destroyed my judgment. That could be. Could be he's referring to Avner ben Ner. Avner ben Ner is the one who brought out Mephibosheth after David Ishbosheth. I'm sorry, Ishbosheth, whatever it is. After David Melech was, after Shlomo Melech was killed, and Avner said, "No, there has to be two people from Binyamin that are going to be kings." That was his line over here. And David Melech said, "That is a terrible way of trying to keep yourself in power." That's what he's saying to Avner. How are you doing? Another line is that he was yelling at Avner for, remember the whole time when he went into the camp where Shlomo Melech was sleeping, and Avner, who was the general of the army, was supposed to be protecting Shlomo Melech, and was surrounding him, and was put his legs down, and David Melech had to get around Avner, grab the flask and the spear of Shlomo Melech, went up top of the top of the mountain, and said, "I've got your flask, I've got your spear," and Avner said, "He's lying. He didn't really come in, it's not your flask, it's not your spear." Shlomo Melech was like, "Wait, I don't have my flask or my spear," and Avner said, "He must be lying, there's no way he could have come down." And he's saying, "You should speak out Mishpat," because I am telling the truth over here, and that's what he's telling them, what's going on over here. So, in the heart, even in your heart, you have wickedness that you're committing in line. The violence of your hands you're trying to deal out and you're giving to other people. You're using your chachma for the wrong ideas, for the wrong evil things. And that's that. He says, Zoru Rishayim Merachem, wicked people are estranged even from the womb. Tolmi Batin Dovri Chazov, they go astray even back there, and they speak out lies. Now, here's a line that they use for Esav, that even Esav in the womb was trying to get out in order to run to that Batei Avodah Zarah when Rivka would pass them. Not the Kashas from the Rishon, and the Rishonim asked the Mizrahi, the Gurariya, what was Rivka doing passing by Batei Avodah Zarah? Why was she going by there?
Walked past the church before it happens on your way.
Rivka. That's the Kasha. Was it Rivka?
For sure.
The water's all. She's pregnant. So what? Women who were pregnant back then did not always move so far, especially with twins. This is not an old thing.
She was a superwoman.
But yes, you're right. So there are interesting answers by the Rishonim where they say it wasn't necessarily Batei Avodah Zarah. It was people who were leaning toward Avodah Zarah, people who hid their Avodah Zarah. It's interesting answers that the Rishonim give.
Then how would you notice a pattern? How would you notice a pattern? We walked by this guy's tent and I got a kick. I walked in his tent.
Yeah. She saw a kid that was just jumping around.
But
she
went, what's going on?
Yeah, but not like this. There was something crazy going on within her, and she felt this so much pain. What's going on? Right? In shock. You'd say it was just a lot of pain. You're saying there wasn't anything crazy going on. It's Rashi that brings down the Batei Avodah Zarah and the Chiddush of, I think it was the Be'er Batzeder made the Maskil of David and said that it wasn't Batei Avodah Zarah, it was something else entirely. But either way, but we learn this from over here that even in the womb, there's something like this, that there's somehow a child can be predisposed to be evil even from the womb. As we say, nature versus nurture, there are some kids who are born with that type of neshama and they have to fight it more so than other people do. We don't don't like saying such things because it feels like, oh, well, there's no Bechira. There is Bechira, but the kid has a much more difficult time dealing with things.
And Pasuk Hey, Hamas Lamo Kibmus Hamas Nachash. They have venom like the venom of a strange snake. Kamo Fesen Chiriz Yatim Azno. They're like an asp, like a very dangerous snake that is deaf, that closes up its ears to not hear the charmers that are going through, that it bites. And even though you try to charm it and try to make incantations so the snake isn't there, they try to close it up. They fill themselves with falsehoods and lies to the point where even when you try to tell them the truth, they close their ears and say, no, that's not the truth, that's not the truth. I actually got into an argument with a kid not too long ago, a high school kid who was trying to explain to me why he felt that there was no God. And I tried telling him, like, listen, I'm going to try to, you know, I'll say this in a simple way. I tried to go with you to Har Sinai. The kid did. I said, let's try to explain what happened at Har Sinai. Maybe we can understand something. He closed his ears and picked himself up and walked out of the room. I've never seen a kid do it. I've never seen a kid do that.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah, it is strange.
Your eyes just look at you and be like, all right.
That's fine. You know, whatever. Some people do that, right?
Kind of lofty for it.
By the way, but I can understand why a kid would do that. But I tried to, you know, try to go through it, but he closed his ears. He wouldn't listen. Well, there's nothing he can do then. Like, what are you supposed to do? All right. Well, I guess we're done then. But of course, he just, you know, he wants to do what he wants to do. And that's fine. At the end of the day, you'll realize it. That's the type of kid who 3 or 4 years from now, somebody's going to talk to him and they'll be like, you know what, that makes sense. But no, he's got a lot of tithes. Totally understood. That happens to a lot of people.
Yes, not good.
No. No. He's okay. Just not like wise enough. But that's the idea. Anyway, but that's the idea of Hamas. Also, Hamas could be referring to, when it comes to this, the Hamas Lamo, this destruction, whatever it is, could be referring to Gullus as well. Gullus is like a snake bite to us. It keeps grabbing us and taking us further and further. You're not listening to the voice of charmers, to even the smartest of the spellers, the people that are into magics and things like that. And some say this refers to Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, nothing stops it. Nothing's going to stop it whatsoever. You know, the thing that does is you close up your ear, and Chazal and Ksuvah say that that's the reason for the earlobes and the fingers being perfect to be able to stick in the ear so you can't hear anything whatsoever. It fits perfectly in that way. Alokimo Roshinemo, Bifimo, they break their teeth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in their mouth so they don't speak it out. Maltos Kefirim Nitzos Hashem. The cheek teeth of the young lions, while they're still growing in, and they're not yet sharp, break them before they come in. Destroy them before they start becoming sharp, because if they start getting those sharp teeth, you know what they're going to do with them. So knock them down when they're still young, going through. Strange line. Aye, but aren't you killing their Bechira? Sometimes it's better for them not to have it in the first place. Sometimes, if that person would not be that way, and that person would not, you know, would be born with those teeth, he would be so horrible he wouldn't be able to stop himself from doing evil. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, handicaps him. And everybody has a handicap of something. I'm sorry? A hockey scene of, so to speak. Yeah. You handicap him. Now, we don't always have the ability to do that because that might be taking din into our own hands. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes handicap a Rasha so that he can't do what he's going to do. And yeah, that's a loss of Bechira for the betterment of that person or society. Right? To have a person like that around, what's going to be? What's going to be in that case? That's an interesting little call.
She's making him predisposed to doing whatever it is that is dangerous.
Now let's give the Paro answer, that he's already led himself so far along that path. You can't take that away from him. But what you can do is handicap him so he can't fulfill his desires. So he's evil. There's nothing you can do. But that evil is going to cause an effect on so many other people. Those people don't deserve for that to happen to them. He deserves to be, you know, to do that evil thing and be punished for it. But the other people don't deserve that evil thing to happen to them. Could be. You know, obviously there are other people that I could have spoken my handicap in a different way. Do a crazy miracle for them and allow them to become good. You know, like they saw, like the hand of God, so to speak. It allows them. I'm sure Kadosh Baruch Hu does that to some people as well. You read about it in Reader's Digest, and that's the truest book out there. Imo'atsu, they're disgusting, these people. Come on, mind yourself, Lamo. They run, let them run off like water. Yidrochitzav, they aim their arrows, come on, you smalalu, and they just cut down, they mow down the people that are out there. You know what it's like? It's like when David HaMelech would be around evil people, he smelled and they tasted and they smelled like garbage, like putrid garbage. That's what he felt like when he was around these people. He was disgusted by them. They were like slime, like the same way you wouldn't want to pick up a slug. He looked at these Rishonim the same way. He doesn't want to shake their hands. They're disgusting. They're pieces of garbage. How could it be?
I mean, you've never met somebody who's just like so off-putting that you just like
something just got robbed.
You're
wrong.
Right. Car salesman. Yeah, all the time. You know, some are good. John, I like John. Right, but you know, you deal with some guys.
Politicians.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's just like you're just getting this guy's
like
trying to sell you something.
The whole Clinton family. Is that what you're trying to say? I'm joking. But that's literally the next line. Moshablu tamasyalo, like a snail that slithers around. That's what he's considering these Rishayim. Mefil Ashes Balchos Hashemesh, like a mole in the ground that will never see the sun. Now, actually, I think moles are kind of cute. They are really, really soft. I do. Not the star nosed moles, on the regular moles. I think moles are pretty cute. They are. They're like little cute
whack a mole games.
Whack a moles are really cute. Those are really good. But I like hitting them also. But yeah.
I was thinking the naked ones.
The naked mole rats. Naked mole rats are really cute. You see them? Yeah. Demaraland? Okay, the Demaraland mole rats. They're not naked. They have a little bit of fur. They're good.
Why did you switch then from a snake?
See, I like this. The snail, and the Miyamoy says this, and I thought it was brilliant. A snail slithers around and leaves a slime trail behind it. Not like a snake. No, well, I mean, yeah, once in a while. But wherever a snail goes, it leaves a little bit of a whatever it is. That's the way of the flatterer, this guy over here. At the outset, he gets close to the person, but then he speaks evil. He leaves something along. Exactly. There's like a moist substance that comes through. It's really cool to ease it along. You know the shot behind it, by the way. It's not that they're losing part of themselves. The only way that snails can move, because they're so sticky, is they exude a slime to slide around the ground, along the ground. They would not be able to move if not for that slime, because they're stuck to the ground. You ever notice they can go anywhere? They can hide on top of anything. They're so stuck in everything. And that's the shot. They slide around through the slime that they put on the ground. That's the disgusting part of it here. Anyway. What? That's why they always have to be filled with water, and they have to be constantly drinking. If they don't have liquid inside the body, they will just die immediately. They get from moistness of the ground, which they can take in dirt, and they're able to turn it into some type of liquid for their bodies, or they're found in water. They don't drown, slugs. They never drown. It helps them when they're in water. It's kind of the reason why they come out in puddles when it rains. The slugs and worms will come out that way as well. Yeah, they're fine. They're like fatten up. They take in as much as they can. Before your pots can even feel the thorns, like the raw and the burning, Yisarenu, it stormed away completely. Well, again, it's still everything is still like moist and whatever it is before they reach the day of when they're supposed to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu storms at them, sweeps them away while they're still in the fullness of life because they don't belong in this world anymore. That's it. So Chai could be like young. Charon could be when they're in the midst of their sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take a total korban away. Yismach Tzadik Yichaz Nakam. At that point, the Tzadik is happy because he sees the vengeance. Ta'amav Yirchatz B'dam HaRasha. And he washes his feet in the blood of the Russia itself. Literally, it means he has a joy when he sees how HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through. Rabbi Victor Miller has pieces after piece after piece on this, that when a tzaddik sees the downfall of the Russia, he knows that everything he's been learning is 100% true. You don't get to see it very often, because usually the Russia gets good things in this world. But when he does see it, he sees how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings back. He looks for the Midah Keneged Midah, and he has joy in that way. No, he's joyous not about the Russia dying, but about how Chazan Nakam, he sees the vengeance of God.
Maybe doesn't make it seem like that, though. Yirchatz B'dam HaRasha?
So I don't know what that means exactly. You're right. I don't know what it means, but it means Yirchatz B'dam HaRasha has to mean that he, I don't know, metaphorical description of the immense joy at seeing God's glory exalted, as opposed to the Russia going down. Right, so let's call it that way. But you're right, the wording is very much trying to say, or seemingly is trying to say, the destruction of the Russia makes him so happy. See, there's reward for the righteous. There is a God that is judging the land itself. And that's what he's so happy about. I finally see it. I've been waiting my whole life to see it, and now I'm seeing it. And that's what he's saying over here. So once again, it's Al Tashchis. I don't want you to destroy a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But because these people are not going in the right way, this is what happens. Let's start over here. We might have an extra 5 minutes, and I was late today. So let's see what we can get over here. We might be able to finish it. Yeah, but he usually comes 5 days. Last time he came at 15. So let's see what we can get over here. once again in Al-Tashchis, Bishloach Shaul, when Shaul sent, Vayishmor Zavai Zamiso, and they watched the house in order to kill him. Everybody remembers this. Shaul, David HaMelech had already married Michal. They're living together, but Shaul HaMelech is angry at David HaMelech and wants to kill David HaMelech. So he sends guards to the house, and he says, do not kill him during the day, wait for the night, and kill him then. David HaMelech was told what was going to happen. He put a dummy in his bed. They waited all night long, and in the morning they came and they found the dummy in the bed. Meanwhile, Michal had let David HaMelech out through the window, and David HaMelech escaped. That's what Shaul HaMelech did at that point. It happened. So David HaMelech is thanking God that time was given. If it would happen at night, he wouldn't have had enough time to be able to get away. But now he had enough time to be able to go through. It's also thank you for not letting Shaul come himself. Had Shaul come himself, he never would have gotten out of it. But now he was. Save me from my enemies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from those who come against me, to Sagbeni. I want you to save me over here. The dangers that are coming out with Shaul HaMelech, etc. Right? That's what he's trying to say. Now it's interesting over here. Some say that the reason why there were people that wanted to kill him because they thought David Melech was supposed to be the next king. He certainly was going to kill Shaul HaMelech, so get up and kill him first. Second thing they said is that he's Morid B'Malchus. He allowed himself to become king when we already have a king. So he's Chayav Misa because he was Morid B'Malchus. Number three, there were other people who were just in it for the spoils. They knew that David Melech had a lot of money from the different things, the different wars that he was out with. So they knew that he had a lot of plunder and they wanted to take his stuff.
He was on the loose though. He was running around. He didn't have anything.
Oh, not now. No. But the original time when they first wanted to kill him, when he was by Michal, he was living in a house. He had a house. He had spoils. He had plunder. The fourth one were just people that were shofchei dami. They just wanted to murder. They didn't care who they murdered. They just wanted some kine. Or b'lanafshi, they wait for my soul. Yaguru alai azim. These strong people, impudent people, gather against the lopishu v'lochatasi Hashem. But I didn't sin. I didn't sin enough to be able to deserve this. Right? There's nothing here. B'liyavon yirutzun. They're running after me without any sin. B'yikoninu. Right? They prepare themselves for it. U'lekrasi ura'e. Get up and help me. Greet me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and see what they're doing. Wake up, to remember and see what all the nations are doing. Do not give favor to those who do sin and everything like that. He wants an onus to happen. Go through yourself. They want to kill me themselves. They think that it went up against you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Punish them yourself. And that's the idea behind it. And it's the same thing. It could be that it's a reference not only to Zephon Melch himself, but also for the whole Jewish people. That he's saying, at the time when Bnei Yisrael are in exile, when they're in Golos, Hashem pretends to be asleep. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pretending as if it didn't happen whatsoever. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should arouse himself for their sake and bring about everything that needs to happen. They return in the evening, they howl like a dog. They so weird, they surround the city. They rave with their mouths. Their swords that come off in their lips. Who should listen to them? They scream out loud, the evils, the horror that they say about David HaMelech, all of those things like them. They're like dogs. They eat Shaul HaMelech's bread, so they do everything that he wants, like a dog would follow his master wherever they go. And that's the shot behind it. That's what these people, obviously we know that somebody speaks Lashon Hara is thrown to the dog, so that's not a coincidence either. You should laugh at them. You should mock all these nations over here, and you should, for everything they've been doing and all the destruction that they wrought, Uzu, because of that strength, I will wait for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem is my tower, my hope, and it should be all good. Elokai, Elokei Chasdi, Chasdi, what is it? Chasdi. Yeah, I don't know what. Oh yeah, okay. Elokei Chasdi Kadmeni. You should do everything in front of me. You should come out to greet me. The God of my loving kindness should come out to greet me. Elokim Yareini Bishor Royak. Hashem should show it. Should let me gaze upon those who want to swallow me up. I'll targain. Don't kill them. Penish Kuami. I don't want people to forget about it. Don't let them just die. Because I want people to know that these Rishayim should be punished. Let them wander through your power. Bring them down, Maginenu Hashem, and still protect us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I want. I want people to know what happens when you chase after people like this. Chatas Pimo, the sin of their mouths, Dvar Sfasemo, the word of their lips. You have to be going and let them be caught in their own pride. Omei Olo Mikacha Shisaperu, from all the oaths and the lies that they speak, let them be punished. Kali, they can destroy them with wrath. Kali, they enable, let them be destroyed and let them not be anymore. Vyedu Kilo Kimo Shabbat. Yaakov, they'll know that God rules over Yaakov, Asya, Artzela, totally throughout the entire world to the end of the world. Let them be snared by their own mouths. Let them fool themselves into thinking they're saying the truth, and let them be caught. Yeshuv Arab, let them come back in the evening. Yamul Kakala, let them bark or howl like a dog. Yisub Weir, surround the city and be like beggars going around the city. Before, there were dogs that wanted to destroy. Now they're like dogs that are begging for a scrap of food. Give them anything that you can have, like feral dogs. They move around in order to eat. If they don't have their fill, right, at least they'll go to sleep. Use up their money completely. I'm going to sing out your strength, your power, and I'll sing out in the morning of your chesed. You are my protection, and you are my, what, refuge. Yeah, in the day that I took care of you, you took care of me. Uzi Elecha Azameira, my strength, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I sing to you, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my fortress, my high tower, Elokei Chasdi, the God of my chesed. Very similar to what he said up above in Pasuk Yud, right? Uzo Elecha Shmora, but here it's Azameira. Okay, but either way, but that's the idea of what he wanted over here. The next one is the last of these ideas, Shushan Edus Mechtam Udav. There's a couple others that are similar that this goes through, and that's going to be about the wars that he's going to fight against Aram Sova when he was already king. Okay.